today, we're now going to take these ideas and begin to apply them to, you know, terminology in the Torah life. So today I want to talk about one of the most important words in Judaism, and you're going to probably guess which word that is. And that word is?
Holiness.
Isn't that amazing? It happens to be on the top of that page. That's right, I did. Thank you. I was at a I gave a workshop to Jewish educators, and I explained that every company, certainly any successful company, has a mission statement. And very successful companies have laser-focused mission statements. So as educators, what would we tell our students is the mission of a Torah life? So one educator said that the mission of Torah life is Yirat Shemayim, is to fear God. And I said, well, why would Hashem want us to fear Him? He said, I don't know, wants us to fear Him. So you have to understand that all His education, that's the message behind everything He teaches His students is, you know, have Yirat Shemayim. I'm not saying it's bad, but I don't believe that's the mission statement of Torah life. Another person said that the mission statement of Torah life is to do mitzvahs. I said, well, but what is the mission of mitzvahs? Didn't know. Another fellow told me, and he's actually very involved in outreach, and he said that the mission statement of the Jewish people and Torah is to make Hashem happy. And I said, where did you get that from? Like, I've never heard that before. Like, Hashem created me and gave me Torah to make Him happy. He needs me to make Him happy. And not eating a double cheeseburger makes Him happy. That's what He needs to be happy. I can't understand that. But imagine this man, his whole life is dedicated to Kiruv, and yet his entire educational message is rooted in basically that Hashem wants to be happy, and we're living a Torah life to make Him happy. Even though we might be miserable, at least He's happy. What could that be? So I said that I believe that the mission statement of a Torah life is to be holy. And then I asked the group, can you substantiate my point? So immediately one pulled out the verse, Kedoshim Tihiyu, you shall be holy. I said, that's very good, but we actually have something that we say daily that substantiates that our mission statement is holiness. And what is that? And this group of educators didn't figure it out. But it's Asher Kiddishanu B'mitzvotav. It's the bracha. Every time you're about to do a mitzvah, you actually recite the mission statement. The mission statement is to be holy. The question is, what does it mean to be holy? And the standard, and more important, what does it feel like to be holy? Because I might be able to give a very wonderful, intellectually stimulating class that defines holiness. Do you now know what holy is? That's like me defining chocolate. For somebody who's never tasted chocolate, a definition of chocolate doesn't get them very close to chocolate, does it? Right? So what good is a definition? I think I might have shared this with you at the very beginning of the year. I met with a rabbi who was an incredible intellect and a huge Talmud Chacham, but to my surprise, he did not accept Kabbalah. I was very surprised at that. And I asked him why. And he said, well, he met with one of the great Kabbalists, Rabbi Sharabi. Rav Sharabi was one of the great Kabbalists of our generation. And he asked this rabbi, tell me what is Keter? The sphere of the attribute called Keter crown. And the rabbi said to him, the Kabbalist said to him, when you experience Keter, you'll know. And this intellectual rabbi said, that is completely unacceptable. And that's why I don't believe in Kabbalah. Now, when he said that to me, it changed my entire life. Because I realized until then, I was studying Kabbalah, and it's not, you don't study it. That's like studying sheet music and never playing it. Now, you have to translate into the experience that these symbols correlate to. So imagine a person has lived their life based on the definition of chocolate. You know, imagine the person is thirsty, and so you give them a piece of paper with the word water written on it. Is that going to quench their thirst? Well, it is. Isn't it water? No, it's not. just squiggly lines. It's not water, okay? So too are here. The question that I want to begin to develop with you is the goal of a Torah life is to achieve Kedusha, Sher Kiddishanu B'mitzvotav. You have made us holy through your mitzvot. Kedoshim Tihiyu, you shall be holy. The entire Torah is going to enable you to accomplish holiness. The question is intellectually, what is the definition of holiness? And even more important, not that we wouldn't have to still define it, is experientially. When did you ever experience holiness? What does the holiness experience feel like? And then the third question is, why would I want that? Why would I want a life of holiness? Why could I not but want a life of holiness? So that's what we're going to begin to explain. And most people, when you say holy, the first thing that comes to their mind is separate. Because that's what they see in Rashi and Kedoshim Tihiyu. And it says nivdal, the word nivdal, and means separate. And so they think that the goal of Torah life is to be separate from the nations, be separate from maybe the physical pleasures of the world. That is a real serious misunderstanding of holiness. Okay? So today, we're going to go deep into what does it really mean to be holy and suggest experientially. I don't think we can do it all in one day, but we're going to try. So I had a student in our early years when we just had outreach programs. He happens to now be the ambassador of Israel in America. And he was sitting in my office, Ron Dermer. So he did Israelite. He's a student of Israelite. And he's sitting in my office. And he told me that his father was the mayor of Miami. And he said that his father was the most moral man he ever met. And he did not believe that if his father would have lived a Torah life, he would have been more moral. So he was asking, so what is the significance of a Torah life? Because my father was the most moral man I ever met in my life. So I said, but do you think your father would have been holier? And he was surprised at that. He said, what do you mean? I said, that's the mistake that people make. Again, I don't know if he would have been holier or not. I'm not judging his father. I was just saying that morality and holiness are not the same thing. Now, you can't be holy if you're not moral. But you could be moral and still not yet accomplish holiness. Okay? And that wouldn't take away from your morality. And that's what we're going to begin to explore here with a piece from Rav Kook. Okay, any questions so far? I wanted to share it. Hope Ron Dermer doesn't mind me sharing that. It was nothing wrong with the story. It was a great question, important question. Yeah?
In terms of holiness, are you sticking with the strict definition of Kedusha? We're not going to use any other terms? Because they are separate?
We're going to try and understand what Kedusha means. That's the point. What does Kedusha mean? How do we define it intellectually? Where do we find it experientially? Why would we want that experience in our lives? Yeah?
Can we already say that?
Okay, but what does that mean? So we're working on it.
It's
part of it's a symptom of Kedusha. A person who's not free is not holy. Okay? Okay, so we're working on it. So now let's look at Rav Kook. I brought the Hebrew, but I'm not going to do the Hebrew. I got a translation here. It's quite a good translation. But I'm hoping that, you know, if you guys want to hold on to the sheet and do Chazar, as well as, you know, a very important message here to write is, we believe you can't be a Jew for yourself, and that we're hoping that you will learn Torah and want to share it with other people. Right? So, not just for yourself. You should learn Torah not just for yourself, but for Klal Yisrael. You know? So, that's why I'm hoping that you'll be able to not just hear it once, but really master this, and so much so that you can also share that with other people. The ultimate goal of life is holiness. Right? Doesn't sound as good as in Hebrew. Hamagama achrona b'chayim hi kedusha. The ultimate megama. So that's what it's all about, right? It's Kedusha. That's what it's about. Holiness is supreme unity. right? That's what holiness is, which contains nothing of the weakness of morality. Morality, he's saying, is weak. Holiness, right, is supreme unity, and it has no weakness of morality. He's going to explain what it is. Holiness does not fight against the self-love embedded within the soul of every living being, but rather it sets man in such a superior state that the more he loves himself, the more the good within him, sorry, it says within him will spread over all around him, over the world, all of being. What did Rav Kook just say? Right. Saying something very deep here, right? What is morality? Rav Kook is not quoting Nietzsche, but the teachers that I've met identify this piece as a critique of Nietzsche. Friedrich Nietzsche says that morality is doomed to bankruptcy. Man, by definition, is selfish. And morality is asking you to be selfless. But that's against the very nature of a human being, is to be selfless. So Nietzsche believed that morality is doomed to bankruptcy because you're asking of people to fight against their nature. Now, you know, it's not that this is Nietzsche's fault, but Hitler was a big fan of the writings of Nietzsche. Right? And if you read in Mein Kampf, you'll see that Hitler says that it is that the war is really a deception. There's really only one war. It's between the Germans and the Jews. That the Jews have perpetrated a plot on mankind, has inflicted two wounds on man's kind. Circumcision on his body, conscience on his soul. These are Jewish inventions, Nietzsche says in Mein Kampf, right? And he says, we are barbarians and we should be proud of it. He actually says that. We should be proud of being barbarians, right? And he talks about how the Jews have convinced people that they can transcend themselves. Man cannot transcend himself. And to ask a person to transcend themselves is to ask them to essentially, not that this is exactly what he said, but essentially the point is you're asking them to commit suicide. People are selfish. Rav Kook is saying something very deep here. Morality has a weakness. The weakness of morality is what? That it's asking you to do what?
Only be selfless.
To be selfless, right? And it's not going to work because people are not selfless. Holiness does not fight against self-love embedded deep within the soul. Morality is fighting against your self-love. Holiness is not fighting against your self-love. Why? Yeah?
I'm just guessing that maybe the morality that comes with holiness, you're not being selfless, you're being self-full because you're realizing the greater self.
Exactly. Good guess, right? Exactly. Right? Listen, there are two people, they're walking down the street. There's a man over there and he needs money. Okay? He needs money. Two people put $10 into that guy's hand. One did an act of morality, one did an act of kedusha. What's the difference? They both gave him $10. One did an act of morality, the other one did an act of kedusha. What's the difference, Benji?
The guy acting in morality didn't act that he knew was right, but that in his core would like he had to struggle against like in order to accomplish it. He didn't like and his core didn't want to. The other one was in tune with like something inside of him that wanted to perform the act.
Okay. You see the first guy great. The first guy he says, oy. I mean, it's my money, but I feel bad for this guy. I mean, I hope this doesn't happen to me. I mean, maybe if I do this, it won't happen to me. I feel guilty about this guy, you know. And so he overcomes and he gives him the money, okay? But the other guy, he doesn't have to overcome anything because he sees himself on the street, right? If my left hand saw my right hand on the street, it wouldn't reach out. It wouldn't reach out. Of course it would reach out. See, that's a level where you start to experience that because you love yourself, you love everybody else because they were part of you. And that's Kedusha. When you get to that level of Kedoshim Tihi You, where you're whole, where you're complete with who you are, when you're totally complete with who you are, you realize that who you are is a self that you share with everybody else. That's the goal of holiness, is to be W-H-O-L-L-Y, whole, complete. And I'm complete because I know that you're a part of me and I'm a part of you. And in a very deep place, we share one self. And that's called the Shekhinah, right? In a very deep place, we share one self, the self of the universe, the Nishmat HaNishamot, the soul of the universe. And that's holiness. So morality is, yeah, I'm fighting against my inclination. Holiness, I'm not fighting against anything. I want to give you that money. Right? Now, I'm not saying that it's so easy to get to Kedusha. It could be that you have to get there through morality, right? You got to kind of overcome your ego, but to find your deeper love for yourself, right? There's a shallow love for yourself, where you perceive yourself as this little self-contained island separate from everybody else. That's an ego self. But a true self, the deepest self, experiences connection to everybody. They cannot but love you. Rav Kook has an article where he says, I can't but love all of mankind. It just flows from my soul. Because I'm so in touch with myself, I'm so in love with everybody else. Now, that's an incredibly important point. That's central to Judaism. That Judaism is about getting in touch with your real self. Whereby morality, people think, is you got to conquer yourself. You got to overcome yourself. Kedusha is, no, you got to find yourself and you got to be yourself. Because your true self cannot but love everybody else. Because we share on the deepest level, one soul. So that's what Rav Kook is saying over here. We'll start again. The ultimate goal of life is holiness. Holiness is supreme unity, which contains nothing of the weakness of morality. Holiness does not fight against the self-love embedded deep within the soul of every living being, but rather it sets man in such a superior state that the more he loves himself, the more the good within him will spread all over, all around him, over the world, all of being. I'm just trying to get you to really love yourself. Don't love your delusional self. Don't love your fake self. Right? That's your ego. But if you really love your true self, you realize that in the deepest depth, your true self is embedded in and connected to all of Klal Yisrael and all of the world and all creatures. Because there's one self to the universe, and that's a Kodesh Baruch. All right? Any questions on this point before we go on? Yes.
I feel like there isn't, while there is an evil inclination in people, I think there is also a good inclination. That's why there are plenty of non-Jewish people running great non-profit organizations that really help other people. And
that's great. That's very holy.
And so why?
The question is, are you doing it because you feel guilty that you have the money and you're really fighting against something? Or you're just naturally flowing? Of course you're going to share, because these are my brothers and sisters, and of course I care, right? Because we are of one blood. What?
I think there are plenty of people who love, non-Jewish people who love helping people.
I know, and they're
holy
people.
Feel good about it.
And they're holy people.
And I don't think that makes them they're doing it out of guilt. It's because they
didn't say it's doing guilt. I'm saying there's two ways of doing chesed. One is a way of morality, which is fighting against self-love because you feel guilty and you feel that you really should be sharing, although you don't really feel like sharing. Another one is coming from holiness, where you actually naturally want to share. You can't but want to share because this person is my other half.
Oh, so these people are doing it out of Kedusha?
Yes. Depends how they're doing it. Again, hey, don't get me wrong. A person that's doing chesed from a place of morality is also good, right? It's amazing. It's great. But still, it's not the deepest depth. And the question is, how long will that last? Okay? And so Nietzsche said the morality is just doomed for bankruptcy, asking people to go against their nature. Rav Kook is saying, no, Quick is agreeing. Yes, morality asks you to go against your nature, perhaps. But Kedusha is not asking you to go against your nature. Kedusha is telling you that in your deepest, deepest nature is a connection to all people. And from that place, you will flow, your chesed will flow, your care will flow. Right? There won't be anything to conquer. Now, I'm not saying it's easy to get there. Okay, it could be that morality is needed in order to conquer your ego. Right? And quite frankly, I think probably his father was a holy man, and he was deeply connected to himself. Right? But I wanted to understand that Judaism isn't about morality. You can meet people that are moral. Right? And that's the problem when people say, well, I'm a good person. What do I need Torah for? The goal of Torah is not to make you a good person. You should have figured that out on your own. Right? We want to get you to a place where you're a whole person, where you're deeply in love with yourself and everybody else because you're in love with yourself. And you find yourself and you find everybody else inside of you. Of course you love everybody. That's a high level. Right? That's why Jewish life is so into community. Because in the community you'll find your true self. Because your true self is outside your body. Outside your ego. Your true self is nested in the community. That's why it's so important that Jewish life is so communal focused. Because it's about finding yourself that you share with other people. Look at the next one. The nature of a social group by no means contains the possibility of the inclination of weakening self-love. It holds only moral destruction. If the chances come and internal decay, all-consuming. Rav Kook is now going to explain to us why we have to be an Kadosh and not a moral. We're not an Musar. We're an Kadosh. You can't ask a nation not to love themselves. You could maybe ask an individual not to love themselves. It'll destroy them, right? But you can't ask a nation not to love themselves. That's ridiculous. That'll definitely not work. That will definitely bring doom immediately. You can maybe for a while, you know, tell people, don't love yourself and love your neighbor. And loving your neighbor is more important than loving yourself, and that's the sacrifice you have to make. And you might be able to get away with that for a while. But you can't say to a nation, love another nation more than you love yourself. That will just totally undermine nationhood. And that's why we're called an Kadosh. Because the foundation of a holy nation is to love yourself. But this is a big challenge educationally. I don't know if Jews love themselves. I meet a lot of Jews that are really embarrassed about themselves. I told you the story when I first went into high school and wore a kippah. And how it was the Jews that were angry at me. It wasn't the Italians, right? And most of the school was Jewish. They were embarrassed that I was wearing a kippah. Right? If you're embarrassed to wear a kippah, you don't love yourself as a Jew. Right? That's really the point. And you should just know that when you love yourself, other people love you. When you're apologetic, when you are making excuses, you're not going to be making friends. Because people don't respect that. People respect people who respect themselves. People love people who love themselves. You know, I told you the story, we had a madricha on one of our summer programs. She came into my office and she says, you know, I just feel that nobody in the program likes me. I said, why do you think that? She said, well, you know, we were on that tiyul the other day and nobody wanted to sit next to me on the bus. I said, well, do you want to sit next to you on the bus? She said, no. So I said, well, you might want to think about that, you know. So don't try to get other people to love you. First get yourself to love you. And then everybody will follow suit. Right? So Am Yisrael, yeah, we're an Kadosh. And Kadosh means we flow from a place of self-love. And you know why we love the world? Because we love ourselves. Right? Not because we're trying to conquer something. Not because we're trying to give up something. We love the world because we know there's one self to the entire world because there's one God, one soul. And we love the world. And we care about the world. Yeah?
Isn't there a fine line with that? Because it possibly leads to like conceit or like self-obsession.
Ah. Not if it's true self-love. You see, when you see people that are haughty, the reason why they're haughty is because they didn't really like themselves. So what happens is they put on a big show and they wear clothing to draw attention to themselves and they have certain behavior that is always calling attention to themselves. That's not true love. That's fake love. That's fake love. A person that really genuinely loves himself doesn't have that need. They just don't have that need. They don't have to impress anybody. They're not looking for approval from anybody, right? I share with you, self-worth is not a democratic vote. There's only one vote that wins, and that's yours. And you got to work on that, but not for yourself, for everybody. Everybody deserves that you love yourself, because you will treat them better. That's why it says, "Avdil recha kamocha," love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't love yourself, how are you going to love your neighbor? I'd rather not have these people love me the way they love themselves, the way they treat themselves. Right? And that's why it's about self-respect. It is about self-respect. You know? And you've heard me talk about it. People getting drunk, they don't love themselves. You don't trash yourself unless you're feeling like trash. You just don't. You don't do that to yourself. You don't want to be walking the street like that and look like that. It's just self-verification. It's people essentially verifying their low self-esteem. And that's terrible. And that's what, you know, that's what we have to fight against. Yeah.
Are there different facets of which holiness is supposed to achieve? Because everyone has their own strengths and weaknesses. So one person can already be doing chesed just because.
That's great. You got to know what Hashem gave you. Hashem gave you different gifts. And you have to be thankful for those gifts. And you have to love those gifts. But I want you to get to a place of loving yourself unconditionally, not because of the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. You know, I shared with you that, you know, I was sitting at home with my wife, and I said, you know, Chana, why do you love me? And she said, why do you assume that? I said, well, let's just say you do, right? She said, I have no reason to love you. And I was really, you have no reason to love me? You have no reason to love me? She says, not only do I have no reason to love you, but you wouldn't even want me to have a reason to love you. I said, I think I would. She says, no, you don't understand. If I love you for a reason, then it's the reason I love, and it's not you. And if that reason was no longer relevant, then I wouldn't love you anymore, would I? You know, I love you just because I love you, and I have no reason. Right? That's a high level of love, you know? That's a high level of love. You should have no reason to love yourself. You don't have to have a reason. You exist, and that's a good enough reason to just love yourself. Yes, you make mistakes. Yes, I make mistakes. Not as many as yours. Right? Just joking, right? Yes, I make mistakes. But you never become a mistake. You can make a million mistakes. You can make a billion mistakes. You will never become a mistake because you are a neshama. You are a chelek Elokam mimal. You are a revelation, a ray of, whatever word we use, right? And Torah is constantly bringing you back to that. Constantly. You're putting on tefillin, you're writing a Kodesh Baruch Hu's name on you. Right? You're davening because you want this to be what you dream about, what you hope for, what you yearn for. You know? And that's what you care about. You care about lofty things, important things, not petty things. So Rav Kook is saying over here that the nature of a social group, you can't get a social group. You have to teach a social group to be holy. Right? Because they really have to love themselves to be a group. Thus, it is completely impossible to demand there be a moral nation in the world, but only a holy nation. As it strengthens itself and as it rises in internal, external value, so will the light and good in the world rise and strengthen. And we will find that the sense of essence, the best of essence of morality is already there in holiness, in the most splendid form, full of beauty and light. You see, what chutzpah to say we're the chosen people? Right? That sounds so haughty to say that you're a chosen people, to feel so good about yourself. Right? But it doesn't mean that we don't think that other people are chosen in their own way. Right? But a nation has to believe in themselves and love themselves. Right? And feel great about themselves and not put themselves down because they're afraid of what other people will say. Right, so be proud that you're chosen and be a model that other people should find their chosenness. Because every nation has been chosen to serve Hashem in a unique way. Every nation in a unique way. And our job is to inspire everybody to find their chosenness. That's what's chosen about us. To find their connection to Hashem in their unique way, through their traditions. Yeah. No, it's not a proof. It's an understanding. What it means to be an Or L'Goyim is to genuinely love yourself, right? I apologize. I never know which stories to who I said, but in one of our summer programs, there was a girl, and and I asked her why did she choose. She was from Australia, and I asked her why did you choose to come to Israelite, and she says, well, you know, I was searching for myself, And so I went to Tibet. And I was teaching English in Tibetan school. And we're having lunch. And one of the teachers turns to me and says, what religion are you? And she says, I'm not any religion. Well, you're certainly born into religion. No, I don't identify with the religion I'm born to. Well, what are you anyway? So she said, well, I'm Jewish. And the person said, oh, you're Jewish. And she said, oh, my gosh, I'm not Jewish. I mean, I'm born Jewish, but I'm not Jewish. So she said, okay, fine. You know, and she started becoming apologetic about it. So the next day, the principal of the school calls her into his office. He had never called her into his office. She said, oh, here it goes. You know, I knew I shouldn't have said I'm Jewish. Walks into his office, and he says, Betty, is it true what I hear about you? You're Jewish? She said, look, I'm not. Okay, my parents are. I'm not. Wait, but, I mean, you're Jewish. She said, what difference does it make? I'm a great teacher. No, I'm not doing my job. Why is this important? He said, Betty, I can't believe I have one of the chosen people in my school. She said, excuse, what? He said, Betty, I'm so honored. I'm Betty. I always tell the Tibetan people that we need to learn from the Jews. Look, Betty. And he points to his bookshelf, and it's full of all these biographies, Golda Meir, Menachem Begin. He's like, he's so learned about Judaism. He says, Betty, tell me more. I've never really had opportunity to really talk to a Jewish person about their tradition. Tell me about your tradition. She's looking at her, she doesn't know what to say. He knows more about Judaism. He says, well, tell me, I know that you guys blow that horn on your New Year's. What is that about? I know, and he starts saying all these things. She realized that this Tibetan man knew more and loved more Judaism than she did. And she said, you know what? I should go to Israel and find out why I'm a Jew. But that's the point. A lot of Jews are not genuinely in love with themselves as Jewish people. Right? And it's because they're afraid that Judaism will separate them from the world and alienate them from the world. And yes, it's true, we've had a hard time, but it's not because we don't love the world. We really do love the world. And we really do want to be a light into the nations. And we really do want to be a channel of blessing to the entire world. That's what it means to be holy. Holy is to be complete with yourself. And when you're complete with yourself, then you'll know that yourself is part of a greater whole, a greater people, a greater community, a greater universe. So that's what Jewish life is about. Asher kidishanu, you Hashem have made us holy. And that, imagine that the goal of Jewish life is to help you access this deep sense of self-love. A deep sense of self-love that is so deep you share that self with the entire universe. Yeah.
And then what about brachot you make that don't have Asher Kidishanu?
No, we're talking about mitzvahs. Those are brachas about food. We're not talking about food right now. We're talking about before you do a mitzvah, Asher Kidishanu, you have made us holy through your mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are to enable you to be whole, to be complete.
So then what about, so are his creations not holy then?
What's not creation? What?
So meaning wouldn't we want to claim that when we're taking advantage of something that he creates, for instance, we're not proclaiming that it's holy. Whatever comes from him is not holy. Meaning, the food we eat must not be holy because we don't make a...
No, that's a different thing. Don't talk about food right now, right? That's a different thing, why we make brachas and food. We're going to get to that. But right now, I just want you to understand that the mission statement of the Jewish people is to be holy. And holy means to be complete. And holy is not fighting against the self-love embedded within you. It's actually trying to help you access the self-love embedded within you. But the true self-love that you share with everybody. Right? And it's not about trying to alienate you and separate you, right, and make you give up, you know, loving yourself because you love God. So I guess to love God, I got to stop loving myself. Or to love people, I got to stop loving myself. No. If you really, really want to love people, then it starts with a true understanding of who you are and how connected you are to people, and then that love will flow. So that's the goal, is Sher Kidishanu Mitzvotav. Let's look at another one. Also, Rav Kook. The great thought of the oneness of being eliminates the question of love itself. The question considered by some as the root of sin and by others as the basis of morality. There is only love of all, which is truly self-love, enlightened, sublime. False self-love, which loves the small spark, visible to bleary eyes, and hates the clarifying selfhood, and this is blindness as foolish as it is wicked. Whoa, very strong thing, right? There's only love of all. True self-love loves all. Why? Because I'm part of the all, right? I'm part of the all. If my finger truly loved itself, then it would love not just the whole hand, the whole body, right? And so too, if you truly loved yourself, you would love everybody, right? And that's what we have to work on. So if Cook says that there's a blurry kind of love, a small kind of love, where you love your little self, your little ego, right? But that's not true self-love. True self-love is when you love yourself and you understand, you experience yourself as part of a greater whole. And we've talked about this. We are driven to be part of a greater whole. We love to be part of a greater whole, right? We'll get, you know, we'll get a shirt and it's got, you know, Ralph Lauren on it. I could get a nice shirt that's not as expensive and just good quality, but hey, I'm not part of the Ralph Lauren club. There's something to be said that people want to dress and identify with this greater whole. I want to wear a Yankee cap because I want to identify with the Yankees. Right? We are constantly trying to experience ourselves as part of a greater whole. So the natural movement and motivation of man is holiness. The question is, are you doing it in a genuine way that will last and truly transform you? Or are you doing it a bogus way that really isn't, that's not really being whole, that I should look like everybody else, right? So when we're wearing the team shirt, the tzitzis, and we're wearing the team hat, there's something very powerful. It's a way of saying, I'm part of the team, right? This is my team. We're all together, right? We're doing these mitzvahs. This is how we celebrate Shabbat, together. We have a certain format, a certain choreography to the Shabbat. But what drives human beings, the ultimate goal, and what I'm adding here is the ultimate motivation, is we are all motivated to be holy. Which means to find the self that we share with the entire universe. And that's the search for God. Right? That's the search for God. Let's hear some more questions. Yeah, Corin.
So how does this idea that there is only love of all work with the... We actually just had a rub last year on this. On the idea that we're supposed to, well, not we're supposed to, but often in halacha and in Jewish thought, we see that there's like a special love within the Jewish people.
Yes, good question. Rav Kook says that on the ladder of ideals, right, the first love is God. The second love is all of creation. The third love is mankind. The fourth love is the Jewish people. On the level of ideals, the love of the Jewish people is the lowest on the totem pole. But on the level of practicality, how do you get there? You have to first start with loving your people, right? Loving your people. I was at a Shlomo Carlbach concert, and we were all dancing. It was really very beautiful. It was in Toronto, and hundreds of people. And in the middle of the song, he stopped the song, and he told everybody, stop dancing, stop dancing. And we didn't know what he was doing. And he turned to the crowd and says, friends, do you want world peace? Which was so out of place. And we didn't know, what is he talking about? I said, what? He says, do you want world peace? And everybody went, yes. And he said, do you want brotherhood and sister? They said, yes. He said, so let's do it. Do it. Let's do it now. Can we have just a little peace in this room amongst ourselves for the next 5 minutes? Because if we can, that will be the beginning of world peace. I remember when he said that, and I thought, you mean with this jerk? I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm into world peace, but you mean with this jerk? You have to understand that this guy next to you is your connection to the entire world. So if we can't have peace in our family, how are we going to bring peace to the world? right? And it's really easy to go confuse yourself. I can have, of course, it's easy to be friendly with your neighbor, but to get along with your brother and sister, that can be really hard, right? So that's why, yes, practically, there are times that we have to focus on ourselves right now. But it's not because we don't care about the world. It's because we do care about the world. And because we care about the world, the practical way to impact the world is to first get our act together. And then we can start reaching out to the rest of the world.
So, like, according to Rav Kuf, like, in halacha, when we see this, whether it's like...
Well, in halacha, tzedakah-wise, who do you give tzedakah to first? You have to first take care of your own brother before you start giving tzedakah to hospitals. Your own brother needs money, you're giving tzedakah to strangers? You have to help your brother first.
But is that to nurture our own love of everyone? Or
yes.
Just because of this
notion of... Yes, but how do you get practically and in a genuine way, how do you build the self-love towards the love that includes the entire universe? You got to start with your own people, with your own family. So Rav Kook says on the practical, the Jew comes first. But on the ideal... It really, the universe would come before a Jew. But how do you get to that ideal? Any other questions? All right, so hand this back up or take it and bring it back.